The operating system must balance the needs of the various processes with the availability of the different types of memory, moving data in blocks, called pages, between available memory as the schedule of processes dictates. Disk and file systems. All operating systems include support for a variety of file systems. Modern file systems are made up of directories. While the idea is similar in concept across all general-purpose file systems, some differences in implementation exist. Two examples of this are the character that is used to separate directories and case sensitivity. By default, Microsoft Windows separates its path components with a backslash and its file names are not case sensitive. However, Unix and Linux-derived operating systems along with Mac OS use the forward slash and their file names are generally case-sensitive. Some versions of Mac OS, those prior to OS X, use a color for a path separator. File systems are either journaled or non-journaled. A journaled file system is a safer alternative in the event of a system crash. If a system comes to an abrupt stop in a crash scenario, the non-journaled system will need to be examined by the system check utilities. On the other hand, a journaled file system's recovery is automatic. The file systems vary between operating systems, but common to all these is support for file systems typically found on removable media like CDs, DVDs, and floppy disks. They also provide for the rewriting of CDs and DVDs as storage mediums. Networking. Another aspect of an operating system has to do with the networking capabilities contained in each. The network links separate computers together from different locations. Most current operating systems are capable of using the TCP/IP networking protocols. That means that one system can appear on a network of the other and share resources such as files, printers, and scanners using either wired or wireless connections. Security. Security is important in any computer system. The operating system provides a level of security that can protect your computer and the data on it. System security is based on two principles. That the operating system provides access to many resources either directly or indirectly. That could mean files on a local disk, privileged system calls, person information about user, and the services offered by the programs running on the system. That the operating system is capable of distinguishing between those who are allowed to access the resource and those who are forbidden to do so. While some systems may simply distinguish between privileged and non-privileged, most commonly have a form of register identity such as a username. Requesters of information are further divided into two categories. Internal security in an already running program. On some systems, once a program is running, it has no limitations, but commonly, the program has an identity which it keeps. That identity is used to check all of its requests for resources. External security as in a new request from outside the computer. This could be in the form of a new request from outside the system such as a login at a connected console or some kind of network connection. To establish identity, there may be a process of authentication. Often a username must be entered and every username should have a password. Other methods of authentication such as magnetic cards or biometric data may be used instead. In some cases, especially connections from the network, resources may be accessed with no authentication at all. In addition to the allow/disallow model of security, a system with a high level of security will also offer auditing options. These would allow tracking of requests for access to resources, as in who has been reading this file? Operating system security has long been a concern of programmers because of highly sensitive data held on some computers. This is both of a commercial and a military nature. The U.S. Government Department of Defense created their own criteria of standards that sets basic requirement for assessing the effectiveness of OS security. This became of vital importance to operating system makers because this system was used to classify and select system being considered for the processing, storage and retrieval of sensitive or classified information. Internal security. Internal security can be thought of as a way to protect the computer's resources from the programs concurrently running on the system. Most operating systems set programs running natively on the computer's processor. That brings on the problem of how to stop these programs from doing the same task and having the same privileges as the operating system, which is just a program too. Processors used for general-purpose operating systems are automatically blocked from using certain hardware instructions, such as those to read or write from external devices like disks. Instead, they have to ask the privileged program, or operating system kernel, to read to write. The operating system, therefore, gets the chance to check the program's identity and allow or refuse the request. An alternative strategy available in systems that don't meet preset requirements is the operating will not run user programs as native code. Instead, they either emulate a processor or provide a host for a P-code-based system such as Java. Internal security is especially important with multi-user systems, as it allows each user of the system to have private files that the other users cannot tamper with or read. Internal security is also vital if auditing is to be of any use, since a program can potentially bypass the operating system without bypass auditing. External security. Typically, an operating system offers various services to other network computers and users. These services are usually provided through ports or numbered access points beyond the operating system's network address. These services include offerings such as file sharing, print services, email, websites, and file transfer protocols, FTP. At the front line of security are hardware devices known as firewalls. At the operating system level, there are a number of software firewalls available. Most modern operating systems include a software firewall, which is enabled by default. A software firewall can be configured to allow or deny network traffic to or from a service or application running on the operating system. Therefore, one can install and be running an insecure service such as Telnet or FTP and not have to be threatened by a security breach, because the firewall would deny all traffic trying to connect to the service on that port. Graphical user interfaces. Today, most modern operating systems contain graphical user interfaces, GUIs. A few of the older ones tightly integrated the GUI to the kernel, one of the central components of the operating system. More modern operating systems are modular, separating the graphics subsystem from the kernel. A GUI is basically the pictures you see on the screen that help you navigate your computer. They include the icons and the menus. Many operating systems allow the user to install or create any user interface they desire. Graphical user interfaces tend to change and evolve over time. For example, Windows has modified its user interface almost every time a new version of Windows is released. The macOS GUI changed dramatically with the introduction of macOS X in 2001. Device drivers. A device driver is a specific type of computer software developed to allow interaction with hardware devices. Typically, this constitutes an interface for communicating with the device through the specific computer bus or communications subsystem that the hardware is connected to. Device drivers provide commands to and/or receiving data from the device, and on the other end, the requisite interfaces to the operating system and software applications. You cannot have a CD-ROM drive, for example, without a device driver for this specific piece of equipment. You have drivers for a printer, scanner, and even your mouse? It is a specialized hardware-dependent program which is also operating system-specific that enables another program, typically an operating system or application's software package or computer program running under the operating system kernel. This allows the system to interact transparently with the hardware device and usually provides the requisite interrupt handling necessary for any time-dependent hardware interfacing needs. The key design goal of device drivers is abstraction. Every model of hardware is different. Newer models also are released by manufacturers that provide more reliable or better performance, and these newer models are often controlled differently. Computers and their operating systems cannot be expected to know how to control every device both now and in the future. To solve this problem, operating systems essentially dictate how every type of device should be controlled. The function of the device driver is then to translate these OS-mandated function calls into device-specific calls. In theory, a new device which is controlled in a new manner should function correctly if a suitable driver is available. This new driver will ensure that the device appears to operate as usual from the operating system's point of view for any person. Some operating systems come with pre-installed drivers or a variety of common drivers to choose from. When you buy a new piece of hardware such as a joystick, they will often come with a disc that contains the device driver that you can install. Other drivers or updated drivers are available online at the manufacturer's website. Application interface. Just as drivers provide a way for applications to make use of hardware subsystems without having to know every detail of the hardware's operation, application program interfaces, APIs, let application programmers use functions of the computer and operating system without having to directly keep track of all the details in the CPU's operation. Let's look at the example of creating a hard disk file for holding data to see why this can be important. A programmer writing an application to record data from a scientific instrument might want to allow the scientist to specify the name of the file created. The operating system might provide an API function named makefile for creating files. When writing the program, the programmer would insert a line that looks like this. Makefile, 1% name, 2. In this example, the instruction tells the operating system to create a file that will allow random access to its data, signified by the 1. The other option might be 0 for a serial file, will have a name typed in by the user, percent name, and will be a size that varies depending on how much data is stored in the file, signified by the 2. Other options might be 0 for a fixed size, and 1 for a file that grows as data is added but does not shrink when data is removed. Now, let's look at what the operating system does to turn the instruction into action. The operating system sends a query to the disk drive to get the location of the first available free storage location. With that information, the operating system creates an entry in the file system showing the beginning and ending locations of the file, the name of the file type, whether the file has been archived, which users have permission to look at or modify the file, and the date and time of the file's creation. The operating system writes information at the beginning of the file that identifies the file, sets up the type of access possible, and includes other information that ties the file to the application. In all of this information, the queries to the disk drive and addresses of the beginning and ending point of the file are in formats heavily dependent on the manufacturer and model of the disk drive. Because the programmer has written the program to use the API for disk storage, the programmer doesn't have to keep up with the instruction codes, data types and response codes for every possible hard disk and tape drive. The operating system, connected to drivers for the various hardware subsystems, deals with the changing details of the hardware. The programmer must simply write code for the API and trust the operating system to do the rest. APIs have become one of the most hotly contested areas of the computer industry in recent years. Companies realize that programmers using their API will ultimately translate this into the ability to control and profit from a particular part of the industry. This is one of the reasons that so many companies have been willing to provide applications like readers or viewers to the public at no charge. They know consumers will request that programs take advantage of the free readers, and application companies will be ready to pay royalties to allow their software to provide the functions requested by the consumers. As we've stated before, there are operating systems in all sorts of products, not just computers. Cell phones, DVD recorders, and TiVo players also have operating systems. However, those OSs are not readily noticeable to the consumer and they do not have any control over them. This might be a good time to review some of the computer operating systems that are on the market today. Microsoft Windows. Back in the late 1970s, two enterprising young computer programmers named Paul Allen and Bill Gates developed an adaptation for the basic computer language that would help run newly created personal computer just coming on the technology market. As with any technology, their original creation changed and grew. The two friends decided they had the product and the capability to become successful, so they formed a company now known as Microsoft. Over the years, Microsoft has grown to a giant in the computer industry with successes never before seen by a from-scratch endeavor. Microsoft was responsible for the development of not only several computer languages like COBOL and Pascal, but also for the development of the earliest operating system MS-DOS. In partnership with IBM, who was just introducing the personal computer to the individual consumer, all of the IBM computers used MS-DOS on their systems. The year was 1981. Even though originally, the Apple Corporation was in competition with Microsoft and IBM, the company eventually began working on developing an operating system for the company's Macintosh personal computers. Then, in 1985, an industry-changing product was starting to evolve. This new operating system would perform many functions already in MS-DOS, but the difference would be that this new product would focus on GUI's graphical user interfaces. The development of the GUI would change the world of computers, making it easier for the everyday consumer to navigate their personal computer. The industry was changing, and it was changing fast. Windows operating system made the world of personal computing accessible and easy for the everyday Joe. Now, even students in the schools were able to use personal computers for their school work and in class. No one knew just how far this new OS would take the world of computing technology. Just like with any computer technology, changes are constantly being made to improve on the product. After the initial launch of Windows, several other versions evolved, each one offering new options and new features, and each with their own bugs and problems. Some people weren't big fans of Windows because at times it seemed as if Microsoft would release the product prior to fully testing it. It became famed for crashes and bugs that would cause the system to behave erratically, but Microsoft addressed each problem promptly and Windows continued to be the operating system on the market. The release of Windows 3.1 operating system was revolutionary in that it offered users more options that couldn't be found with its predecessor MS-DOS. One of the most helpful innovations was adding the use of a mouse to navigate and manipulate data with one hand simply and easily. 3.1 also gave users the convenience of not having to memorize MS-DOS commands. Windows 3.1 was the first product to fully utilize graphical user interface for ease of controlling what the computer would do. Windows also now allowed the user to multitask, meaning the user could now run multiple applications at once without having to close out of each program before running another. The next major Windows product to hit the market was Windows 95, released in 1995, hence the name. New features included the following. Plug and Play allows hardware devices to be automatically installed into the computer with the proper software. Does not require jumpers to be played with. 32-bit operating system allowing the computer to run faster and more efficiently. Registry combines the power of multiple configuration files into two files, allowing the system configurations to be located easier. Memory. Windows 95 had an improved memory handling process as compared to Windows 3.11. Right mouse click allows you new access and text manipulation by utilizing both buttons instead of one. CD player. Enhanced CD player with improved usability and autoplay feature. Windows 95 also had some extra software included: Windows Explorer, Paint, ScanDisk, and Sound Recorder. Games were added, as were system tools that would defragment the hard drive and allow you to back up files for use later. Windows 95 was succeeded by Windows 98, released in, you guessed it, 1998. While the release of this OS wasn't as big as 95, the 98 version still contained some significant updates, fixes, and support for new peripherals. Protection. Windows 98 included additional protection for important files on your computer, such as backing up your registry automatically. Improved support. Improved support for new devices such as AGP, DirectX, DVD, USB, MMX, etc. FAT32. Windows 98 had the capability of converting your drive to FAT32 without losing any information. Interface. Users of Windows 95 and NT would enjoy the same easy interface. PNP. Improved PNP support to detect devices even better than Windows 95. Internet Explorer 4.0. included Internet Explorer 4.0. Customizable taskbar. Windows added many nice new features to the taskbar which 95 and NT did not have. Plus, included features only found in Microsoft Plus. Free. Active Desktop. Included Active Desktop which allowed for users to customize their desktop with the look of the Internet. Windows 98 also upgraded some of its security features and added Dr. Watson, which is a diagnostic tool that will look for problems on your computer and then offer up a resolution automatically. They also added a maintenance wizard that allows you schedule certain maintenance tasks such as ScanDisk to be run once a week. In keeping with the theme of naming versions of Windows after the year it was released, the next version was Windows 2000. Windows 2000 was known as the professional version and was geared toward business use. So, it was often referred to as Windows Professional. Features of this new operating system included support for FAT16, FAT32 and NTFS. Increased uptime of the system and significantly fewer OS reboot scenarios. Windows Installer tracks applications and recognizes and replaces missing components. Protects memory of individual apps and processes to avoid a single app bringing the system down. Encrypted file systems protects sensitive data. Secure virtual private networking, VPN, supports tunneling into private LAN over public internet. Personalized menus adapt to the way you work. Multilingual version allows for user interface and help to switch, based on logon. Includes broader support for high-speed networking devices, including native ATM and cable modems. Supports Universal Serial Bus, USB, and IEEE 1394 for greater bandwidth devices. While that might not sound significant to the everyday computer user, these new advancements made for a smoother running system with more capabilities than other Windows versions. The year 2000 also saw the release of Windows ME or Windows Millennium. This version was meant as an upgrade for Windows 95 and 98 and was designed with end users in mind. Overall, Windows ME has the look and feel of Windows 98 with some additional fixes and features not available in previous operating systems. While Windows ME includes some of the latest fixes and updates and some enticing new features, this update was recommended only for users that may find or want some of the new features or for users who are purchasing a new computer with this operating system included. Key updated features include revert back to backup of computer. Windows ME allowed the user to automatically restore an old backup in case files are corrupted or deleted. Protect important system files. Windows ME allowed the user to protect important system files and would not allow these files to be modified by any type of other software. Movie Editor allowed users to edit and/or combine Microsoft movie files. Importing movies required additional hardware. Windows Media Player included Media Player 7, which enabled users a more advanced way of listening and organizing their media files. And the next year, 2001, saw the release of Windows XP, which is the version most users have to date. The XP stands for Experienced and combined the two major Windows operating systems into one. It is available in both a home as well as a professional edition. Windows XP is designed more for users who may not be familiar with all of Windows' features and has several new abilities to make the Windows experience easier for those users. Windows XP includes various new features not found in previous versions of Microsoft Windows. Below is a listing of some of these new features. New interface, a completely new look and ability to change the look. Updates, new feature that automatically obtains updates from the Internet. Internet Explorer 6, includes Internet Explorer 6 and NUIM. Multilingual support. Added support for different languages. In addition to the above features, Windows XP does increase reliability when compared to previous versions of Microsoft Windows. Finally, the most recent upgrade of Windows was just released in 2007. Called Windows Vista, this new version is intended as an upgrade to XP and 2000 users. While it does have many new features, this version is intended to give computer users an overall better experience with a dramatic new look. Added features over previous Windows versions include Windows Aero, a completely new GUI and unlike any previous version of Windows. Basic file backup and restore. Improved DVD support with the ability to easily create custom DVD movies. Easy transfer, a feature that allows you to easily transfer files from an older computer to the new computer. File encryption. Instant search available through all Explorer windows. Support for DirectX 10. Self-healing, the ability to automatically detect and correct problems that may be encountered on the computer. Shadow copy, a feature that allows you to recover deleted files. Improved photo gallery and control of photographs. Windows sidebar and gadgets that allows you to add an almost endless list of different gadgets. More parental control. Improved Windows calendar, with the ability to set tasks and appointments. And much more. Some people who are Windows enthusiasts hail this new product as a step into a new technological era. Windows Vista is flashy, pretty, and impressive, but it comes with its own unique faults as well. Reviewers report that there are many device drivers lacking in the software and that its size requires a large amount of memory, which can cause your computer to run slower and less efficiently. All versions of Windows do come with the original MS-DOS operating system included in the background for those old schoolers who will want to enter their own computer commands. All versions also come with a basic word processing program and Internet Explorer for surfing the net. You will find standard games such as Solitaire in Windows as well. Most computers today are outfitted with Windows XP as their operating system, but with the release of Vista, that will probably change in the near future. The Microsoft Windows operating system is the most popular choice among computer users today, but there are other operating systems. Let's take a look at the most popular operating system for Apple Macintosh computers.